This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode of In the Black. If you were with us last week, you got a small preview of this episode. We are helping you this week build the dream team. Of course, teamwork makes the dream work. What other cliche sayings are there about teams? If you want to go far... No, if you want to go fast, go alone. Yep. If you want to go far, go together. We've got lots. Mm. But basically, the point is that they made this amount of quotes to reinforce the fact that teams are the most essential thing to anything, to business success, to sporting success, to anything, relationship success. So today, we're going to help you build a dream team. But before we do, we're going to talk more about the MP event coming up. The tickets have almost sold out. We have half price on our deal before they go up to full price. So there'll be more tickets available at full price. But if you want half off, if you want to spend $100, not $200, then head to the link right now in the description. So the main focus, I think you've got just over a week left to decide. But if they sell out, that's your fault. Mm. You're paying full price. So the strategic planning is the focus. So you're going to have your business come in. You know, this is stuff we've talked about in the episode. You know, interestingly, actually, quite a few people that have started signing up to MPE after this. It's one of the things they did mention was is that they're actually trying to implement a lot of the stuff that we're talking about on the podcast, and sort of just explaining to them that, you know, what we're talking about here in 20 minutes, 30 minutes is only scratching the surface. You know, you're going to be spending hours upon hours diving into this stuff with your success coach at MPE, and that's really where the value is. Like, if we're not going to be there when you get stuck on a question about strategic planning, you're like, oh, is it, do we do the planning like this? Do we set the goal like this? Or do we do it a little bit more like this? How do we get specific on this goal? You don't have us there. So you don't know. You get stuck and you don't end up doing the planning. That's always how it plays out. But if you're actually in the coaching program, that question gets answered. You move on, you keep going, you progress towards your goal. So yes, obviously this information is free. It's fantastic. It's super useful. But it is only, you know, 10% of what you really need to be executing on. Like right now, we're going to go over five strategies that you can to build a dream team. But the implementation, the execution, the grinding, the questions you have, the roadblocks you have that you'll need to overcome with different systems and strategies, we can't guide you through all those. Or if we do, it's going to take us the next year to cover those topics. So if you can afford it, if you do have big goals for your business, you want to progress. Starting at an event like this is so good. You don't have to start with the full paid coaching program. You just come to the event. So the MPE event is in March 11th. The registrations for our tickets are going to close off end of next week. So make sure if you're listening to this now, you get along, do some strategic planning with us, hang out, grab a beer, hang out in the city, meet the MPE team, meet other gym owners. Yeah, there's like the industry conference of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really fun. That's in Sydney, so no. If you're in America, I guess that's probably an excuse, but it could be an excuse to have a holiday.
Yeah.
But if you're in Australia,
there's going to be two Americans there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've already booked them in. Yeah, so they are looking for a holiday.
Okay, wicked. So if you missed last week, go back, listen to that first. But that is like some of the big mistakes you can make, or just like errors in your organizational structure of your gym currently.
Oh, sorry, I didn't tell people what to do. Link in the description.
Link in the description for the tickets.
Yeah.
But this week, we're helping just build the dream team for your gym. So number one is a really good way to, I guess, increase motivation, increase people's activities to be more aligned with the outcomes that you want, mm-hmm. Which is usually, you know, growing your business is really, really what you want.
So I can list all five off just quickly.
Okay, so we've got scorecards. We're going to talk about KPIs, like, you know, key performance indicators or outcomes, doing some less coaching as an owner, some leadership roles for the staff, and getting the staff actually good, enjoyable clients to work with,
ones that they
want to work with. So starting to the one, the scorecard, it's really easy. This is really just like a one-pager.
It's kind of like a role description, basically.
It's like a one-pager that, you know, it seems like, oh yeah, it's like pretty standard, like you need that. But very often, you know, you realize, oh fuck, I don't really have a good one of that. And you just usually have like a mission for the role, which might be like, you know, transforming people's lives, whatever it is, some sort of like delivery of coaching, outstanding service to a client. A few outcomes usually that person is trying to get after. And then some tasks that actually make those outcomes happen. So having that down on a one-page document just creates so much clarity for the person.
Yeah.
And the really integral part is that the outcomes are driving the mission and the tasks are driving the outcomes.
Yep.
So that's how you do it, and that just gives the perspective of the person that you've got employed in that role to be like, oh yeah, so like this is the outcome you're trying to get, and those are the outcomes that drive your business. And before having that, they might never really thought that was the outcomes of what you were after.
Mm.
They thought the outcomes were just, oh, you know, turn up on time. Like, as long as I tick that off, like, right. I've pretty much nailed it.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's good in your head as well to really flesh out the ideas of what you want done.
Mm.
And so, you can have something to point to be like, hey, you didn't do this thing and you agreed to it. You know, you took on this role. You knowingly have it in front of you. You have access to it. And you've either forgotten or you've chosen not to do it. And that's not part of your role. So, you need to go do it. And just having that reference point, having that easy conversation is better than... And this is something we experienced at our first, you know, personal training jobs is, you know, you didn't do something and then the person, you know, the owner of the business would turn around and be like, hey, you know, don't drink milk in class, or don't, you know, you're supposed to put out the rubbish after class. And, you know, I would think to myself, you never told me that.
Mm.
And that is a worse situation because now you're being asked to do things that you didn't expect you had to do. And you thought, you justified it in your head for a few months. Oh, cool. I'm getting paid this much to do exactly this thing. And so, as soon as people start stacking those things on top of it, when they should have just really outlined it at the start so that you agreed upon it, now you have a problem. Because now you have someone who is resentful. Now you have someone who's like, you know, they would have happily put the bins out if they knew at the start for the same price. But now, because you set the expectations in the wrong place, and now they're putting out the bins for that extra money, for no extra money, now they're pissed.
Mm.
Now you've got a problem.
And some good examples of outcomes, you know, usually for the kind of on-the-floor staff member will be stuff like retention, like a certain amount of members staying at your gym over time. That's, you know, it's one of the best ones. And sometimes that hasn't been made clear to them. They're like, oh, I'm just here to deliver awesome classes.
Yeah.
But the end outcome is, no, you're here to deliver classes in a way that makes people stay.
Yeah.
Because when they stay, they're obviously enjoying it and they're obviously getting results. That's why they continue to pay. Referrals can be a really good outcome. Might be like one a month or one a quarter or two a month. That's a good one. And that's probably one as well that often they're like, oh, I know they're good, but I didn't really think that was expected of me.
Right.
And you might want to give that expectation to a staff member. And
for sure,
if that's not on the scorecard, it's a very good chance it's not clear. Then you can think of other stuff, like we've used testimonials as well. You know, gathering testimonials at a certain frequency, that can be a pretty good outcome, particularly, you know, in fitness. That's usually a really good way to drive your marketing. And that way it doesn't all rest on you to go gather them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that... having something like that in there, stuff that's tied to the growth of the business, is like especially exciting for you as an owner.
Exactly. Yeah. So, the critical piece, you have your mission, you got those outcomes, and then the tasks, I mean, that is usually quite easy to do. It's a bit of a brain dump of them. If there's a lot of them, it can be handy just to split them up into like quarterly, monthly, weekly, or daily. Just so there's like some organization. But the important point is that if you're looking down that task list, you got to know, okay, if they tick these off, is it going to drive the outcomes?
Right.
If they're not related, it's just not going to make any sense for the employee. Yep. You're not going to be able to foster success in them.
Yeah.
But if you're like, hey, if you nail these tasks, these outcomes, they will take care of themselves. That's the ideal scenario because they can just focus on the tasks and know these outcomes are going to start getting knocked off.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, number two, and this one you probably see very little in fitness, but having some KPIs or just like some indicators of success or not as good performance results is really important. It's really motivating. If you can have some system, be like, oh, cool, you're in the green or you're in the red or you're in the orange so far. Some system like that of like giving them feedback on how they're going is really important. You know, one of the easiest ways you can have this is just like a survey. A lot of people will just do like a, you know, an NPS survey, which is just like a how happy are your customers survey. Maybe how happy are you with this particular coach?
Mm.
And just driving up the average of that number, how we expect this number. And when that number starts to drip, cool, your KPIs aren't going as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The KPI, like people will be most successful in their role when they have clarity.
Mm.
And that is one of the most unappreciated things in the workplace is having clarity in what is a good outcome, what is a key performance indicator. So, when you get really clear on those things, people know I'm doing a good job or I'm not doing a good job. And the gray area and the ambiguity that lies in not knowing is in the research, they've shown very clearly that that leads to a lot of unsatisfactory feelings about the company and the business. Even if they are doing a good job, even if from your perspective, you're like, wow, this person's delivering awesome. If they don't know that because they don't have clear KPIs, they're going to be unhappy. They're going to be unsatisfied in their work because they don't know if they're doing a good job or not. And that ambiguity is not good.
Yeah. And you know, you're just not giving them every chance to succeed.
Yeah.
And then so you can decide what the KPIs work with you, but it has to be some way that you can measure it and you can get it at some frequency.
Yeah.
If this is like a once a year survey, it's not the best just because that's like so long between drinks. You know, yeah. So long between getting feedback. It's not that motivating. They're probably going to work hard maybe the 2 weeks before that survey comes out.
Yeah.
But if you can have something or some regularity that just like measures, am I doing well, not doing as well, that is going to really drive just like superior performance in the long run.
Especially because, you know, numbers don't lie. It's like getting on a scale, right? You either lost weight or you didn't lose weight. Like, you put weight on the bar, you didn't put weight on the bar.
And such a good measure is if you have a staff member's like, man, that is like, I can't believe you're trying to give me like a KPI here. That's usually a really good sign that they're not a good staff member.
Right.
If they're terrified of the thought of you like measuring performance and seeing that it's good, it's like, sweet, you hate that? Awesome. I know a really good other gym you could work at.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to be held accountable to good results.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, it's same thing. Hey, we're going to like retest your bench in 6 weeks. No, I don't want to retest. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah.
That person's not like a killer.
They're not getting what? They're not getting better, yeah.
And usually like a really good coach is like, oh, that's, oh, like, I was craving that. I'm so happy because I want to show you that like I'm doing way better job than everyone else here.
Right,
yeah, so
they're ambitious.
It's a good measure. They already know they're good. They're like, man, I'm going to like destroy that KPI.
Yeah.
So if you're getting that sort of like, oh, my staff will never want to have this, then it's like a pretty good sign. It's like, who's running the show here? You're running the show. Pretty good sign that you need some maybe some different staff members.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good point.
Okay, so number three, and this, I mean, this will come down to the individual, but what we've often seen is that you do have to usually pull back on some of the face-to-face coaching as an owner to help build your team.
Yeah.
Because if you just take so much of this, there's a couple of problems with it. One problem we tend to see is it just takes up a lot of your time and energy and focus because you're just really involved in the clients' lives, maybe up early, staying late, or you're just like putting lots of energy towards that. And that's energy that it's really tough then also put in towards your team. You know, if you're invested in your team success, but also all the clients in the gym success, that can be really, really hard to manage. Whereas, you know, number one as the owner, you're more trying to get your team members to succeed.
Right.
Your team members trying to get the clients to succeed.
Yeah.
That usually tends to work better. And then the second part of it is if you do loads of that, then it's hard for your staff members to really feel like they're growing in the organization. Because like, hey, like I, you know, all the important clients, like I'm taking care of it. Don't worry about that. Or there's just not much room for them to grow. There's not a lot of hours for them to coach. Mm. Not a lot of clients for them to work with. So that's usually at some point, not for everyone, but for most people, you do have to pull back in at least by a certain amount.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, you know, from what I've seen in my experience, the most effective owners work 0 hours and then the threshold before they really start to take their focus off the business is like over 2 hours. So generally what I've found is some really successful gym owners, they like to just coach because they love coaching and they like to keep their pulse on the finger and show their clients that they're still involved at the gym and that's the style that they've chosen. And it's never more than like one slot. So it's like not more than like a couple, like, you know, to like a back-to-back on Saturday, a back-to-back in the evenings on Thursday, you know, just something like that.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, when we had Jason Kalip on the show, he was like pretty similar to that. He's like, hey, I like coach like this frequency.
Yeah.
I remember it was like once a week or like once a month.
Yeah, I think it was once a week, but he's on for once a week, but he often doesn't make it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like he's not actually on the schedule. And that can be really good because when that's such a huge part of their business, coaching, it's like he kind of needs to know like, dip his toe into it to see what it's like. Very often you might do that with sales. You might be like, I still like to do these amount of sales because that like teaches me so much about the clients that are coming into the gym. So you pick and choose like that, but you know, the majority of the coaching is being done by the team. So there's still heaps of opportunity for the staff members.
Yeah. There's just enough, like, because your staff members are not going to be doing the jobs that you should be doing, like above the coaching roles when you first hire them. So at least for now, you need to move out of that slot to free up slots for them.
Awesome. So this fourth point is really just getting some more leadership roles. And leadership, I would really just say anything kind of besides just the entry-level coaching at your gym for your staff members. This goes back to what we talked about last week, which is they often see no progression in their role and that can be demotivating. But starting to build some different areas of the business that maybe a staff member can lead can be super motivating. It can fit in really well with their strengths or their passions, because you can align them and, you know, almost guarantee there's staff members that like love something or are better at something that you are, and they're often pushing that through. You know, you'll often see in the gym, there's like one coach is like, man, I'm like the nutrition guru of the gym, you know, like everyone goes to that coach for nutrition. It's pretty crazy. Often the gym owner doesn't just give them some like more leadership role in like doing the nutrition for the gym, organizing the challenges or like organizing what educational material, or how we're just going to deliver it to new clients. But sometimes you just got to take that step to create the role with them so they know what it's all about.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think on the leadership front, you know, that's obviously creating leadership roles for your staff, but you as an Odin can create leadership for all people inside the company by influencing them on how they behave. And now, you know, people are thinking leadership, well, I want to show my staff, you know, through my actions as to how I want them to do a job. So I still need to coach, but that is not necessarily how you lead. You can also lead by just simply doing what you say you're going to do. Being a person of integrity, being a person that is punctual, being a person that is polite, behaves well, and using those kind of behaviors to influence your staff to act that same way in their role. So it's how are you influencing them to behave a certain way in the roles that they have. That is really the key. And it's not about doing their roles better than them, because ideally you're hiring people that are better than you at that role. That's what you'd really love to do. And that's how business really grows. But outside of that, it's the behavioral, it's the professionalism, and that is where you get leadership as an owner.
Yeah, and you know, one of the easier and I think really really effective ones would just be when you get a new trainer that is maybe taking on like a small amount of classes, or then you giving one of the one of your team members or one of your coaches just some role in training that person can be really good. Particularly if they're like a really good coach, very good chance they're doing most of the coaching.
Right.
Giving them some leadership in training it can be like really rewarding for them. Otherwise, for sure, they get that feeling like, oh, this other coach sucks. They just started. Doing a crap job with my clients. Like, really, really frustrating. So give them some leadership in training them, and then they'll feel more invested. Like, I was also involved in training that person.
Mm.
You know, so if they fuck up or something they get complained about, there's some shared responsibility there.
For sure.
So that can be a really easy place to start. Now, number five is getting these coaches like some decent clients to actually work with.
Yeah, it's huge.
Clients is the biggest dictator on, I really believe, your happiness when you're servicing clients. Like, if your main job is maybe, I don't know, being like a life coach online, or coaching clients in person, or programming people online, like how your clients interact with you is such a big impact on how good your day goes. If you have like shitty clients, like always missing payments, you know, they sleep in when you got up at 5 a.m. to train them, and they complain all session, like, doesn't matter that you're doing your passion, which is fitness.
Yeah.
It's horrific.
Yeah.
It's the worst day ever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's nothing makes a bigger difference than this. And if you're going after like the cheapest clients, like, man, my thing is like, I'm the cheapest of this type of gym in the area, you're going to end up with such rubbish clients.
Rubbish.
That it often can be not enjoyable for your staff members to work with. You know? It's like at those Globo gyms that go for the cheapest, like Anytime Fitness, whatever, they get the bottom end. But there's not a lot of service in that gym. You know, it's just people just clock in, clock out. It's not a lot of interaction with those clients, so it's okay. But if you are trying to get your coaches to like get to know the members and this and that, man, you got to screen for good clients.
Yeah.
And like, you know, for sure, we get ones that slip in, end up not being a very good client.
Yeah.
Always really annoying, but it's better if that's a 1 in 10.
Yeah.
And then they quickly get sent.
Yeah.
Than if that is the majority.
Yeah. And that's why we have a good, you know, sales and filtering process and onboarding process, so we can filter these people out, because, you know, you bring more good people, more exciting, more fun people together, and, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? It's an exponential effect when you get more of those people, because they just bring such good energy. They lift up the coach. They lift up each other. Everyone gets really good results. It's just like, imagine just being in a sporting team, right? The people that make it to the NBA are a very special breed. They are fucking awesome to be around. They, you know, they give just as much as they take. And that is the environment that you try and cultivate, because that's how you create, you know, the ultimate culture, the place where everyone wants to be, that everyone talks about, right? But if you're just bringing shit and you're just throwing it into a pile, like, it's going to stink.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone's had this, they've made this mistake before, because you're a business owner, you're thinking more about, okay, I need more people in this gym. You know, I need more revenue coming in. So you're like, you let one slip, you like let a bad client come in the gym, because you're like, well, I'm not really doing the coaching, like someone else can worry about it. It's a shit move. Because you're coaching, like, hey, this person sucks. Like, why did you give me this person? Why are they in class? This is a disaster. And you're way better off just like not demotivating your staff member in the long run like that.
Yeah.
Not having your staff member waste their time on the bad client. You know, take the hit, miss out on the revenue in that short term. Tell the coach, hey, I had this terrible client. Don't worry, man. I sent him. We're going to wait for the right ones.
Yeah. It's like my natural filter now when I'm consulting with new clients, when, you know, I'm qualifying them. I think it's funny, because when we first start, it's like, you're like, you know, I'm trying to qualify you to come to my gym. You kind of say it, but you don't really mean it. But then you get to a point where it's legit. I'm sitting across from this person and I'm looking at them going, is everything that you're saying right now, are you saying the right things? Because if you don't show up to the gym, if you're not a person of integrity, I don't want you at the gym. I don't want your money. You're going to make it miserable for me. You're going to keep showing up on the failed payments list, on the low attendance list. My coach is going to be following you up, going to be texting you, going to be whinging about you to me. So, I don't want you at the gym. And those, like, just having that mindset going into a sales is you just attract the right clients.
Yeah, and the truth is you really do end up losing money on those bad clients.
Yeah, yeah. It's
they
a sellout.
They take up so much room in classes. They maybe like send away a good member because they're super annoying class. You spend so much time chasing up their payments or doing this or trying to get them back in the gym that
lose
if you
money
put
sure.
that focus on just getting more good clients, you really would have made more money in the long
yeah.
run.
Yeah. Yeah, I only work with a very, very small exclusive group of clients now. And when I say a group, it's one, maybe two occasionally. And it's only because I enjoy their time so much. Like, we just get along so well. And, you know, they want to be there. They value my time. They treat me like a professional. And, you know, they do the training. And I think part of the trap that some people fall into is that they become such good friends with their best clients that now it's not really a coaching relationship anymore. And I think that's just an art you practice over time is like, being a really good coach and like not really blurring the lines on the friendship stuff. So, keeping it professional and keeping it enjoyable.
Yeah. And it helps you get the best results.
For sure.
All right, last one here. And this can be a big one, but getting some employee contracts for your staff members and getting some HR, human relations support when you need it. You know, most gym owners don't have a degree in like human relations from university.
I thought it's human resources.
Sorry, yeah, human resources. Yeah, you're right. Human resources. Most people don't have that training or like aren't qualified or whatever. And, you know, as for a reason, every single company like has like a whole department once they get to a size just for that. They don't outsource it because it's such a big thing. And, you know, when we first started the gym, we didn't have employee contracts. But since getting them, they're so much better. They are something you also need to refresh. You can't just like get one from like 1999 and just run that shit forever. They need updating. And just like the simple fact of updating them, I think is better because it just like reminds everyone that it exists. So having them in place will take away a lot of the fears. Fears of like trainers stealing clients or behaving really badly in the gym. Having that all set out from the beginning makes a huge difference. There doesn't need to be something unbelievably complicated, particularly if the staff member's role is quite clear.
Mm.
But just getting something in place and usually shouldn't cost you too much, but you should go get some help with your HR just they can set you up with the right agreement, make sure it kind of follows all the fair work policies or wherever you live's policies from the government. And then you're good to go. And then usually when you do get troubles, you probably need to go back to that person and get a little bit of advice or help. Because things come up and you don't always know the answers yourself.
Yeah, I remember there was a, I want to say it was maybe like 4 years ago when we started the gyms and you sat across the table from us, we were in a meeting and you were visibly frustrated. And I think you said something to the effect of like, we don't even have a real business. Everyone here is just working here and we're on the hope that they're showing up. Half of them are our friends, half of them we're in a relationship with. This is not a real business. And it stuck with me because, like, if you don't have on paper written down with signatures, are you really a legitimate business or are you just a club where your mates come out and you pay them some cash and they just kind of go home and eventually they don't really help out, they don't leave? Like, if you want to be a legitimate business, everyone in your company that's under you has contracts signed. It's just how it is. It doesn't have, like you said, it doesn't have to be a perfect contract, but it has to be something.
Just some understanding on paper so you can reference it.
So at least so the people that are coming into your business as well probably have experienced really unprofessional situations and you put a contract in front of them and they're like, oh, like I have to sign a contract. They're like, yeah. And they're like, oh, wow, this is like a professional business. And automatically from that, you're setting the expectation that like, hey, what we do things here is a professional way of doing things. It's a legitimate business. And just having that piece of paper completely changes the people. You might even find that someone doesn't want to sign it and you're like, cool, I just dodged a bullet there. You know, it probably won't happen often, but it could. And that's just the power of like, you know, a piece of paper or a contract. So very important stuff to have in your business. Absolutely.
Yep. So those six things will make a massive difference. I mean, you don't need to do all of them if you have like at least three or four of them. I think that'd make a huge, huge difference. But ideally, you get all six. So, we've got scorecards, which is really a one-pager that outlines the role when you give it to somebody. And you can update them from time to time. KPIs, just a few things that a person is going after that you measure on some frequency so you know if they're killing it or they're not doing as well. Number three, pulling back on your coaching a bit as an owner to free up some more roles for your staff members. Giving those staff members some leadership roles. Number five, getting some good clients for the staff members to work with so they enjoy coming to work every day. And something they look forward to rather than dread. And finally, just getting some help with your employee contracts. Get someone to help set them up, get them, use them, and then update them once every couple of years.
Awesome stuff. All right, guys. We spoke about the MPE event. The links are in the description. I want to see you guys there. If you are listening to this stuff and you need some more help, you want to dive into it. We do this stuff with MPE. So this is, they've helped us with all this stuff. We couldn't do it without them. So we'll see some of you at the event. Remember, it's half price. Tickets are going fast. Link in the description. And yeah, we'll speak to you next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.